Let's get your Bibles. Let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. I'm going to be all over the place in terms of the chronology timeline of this, but my focus is on the good report and the bad report. It's the story of Joshua and Caleb. And basically what I'm underscoring this morning is what we've been discussing for the last few weeks, and that is we're going to examine why Joshua and Caleb realized the fullness of a life of breakthrough and blessing when their contemporaries forfeited the prize and never entered into the promised land. What we're going to do is we're going to look at what stifled the majority and we're going to look at what propelled the minority. We're going to see a contrast between the evil report and the good report. We're going to see the effect that the good report has on people's hearts and the bad report has on people's hearts. And we're going to just basically draw up from these scriptures what essentially God is trying to say to us through these verses. The Bible says in the New Testament that all scripture is inspired by God, so we know its reliability. We know that our whole movement is rooted in history, so we better be understanding the faithfulness of God in past generations so we can realize it and see it in ours. We understand also that the scriptures were written in earlier times for our instruction. Yesterday I was in the parking lot and I saw a guy and I called out to him thinking he was somebody else. And when I got up to him, you know, I got close within the range of my vision and I went, "Oh, you're not the guy I thought." And he said, "No, I'm Ben." He said, "I've come to be educated." And he introduced his wife to me. I could tell that I'd never seen him before. They're new. "I've come to be educated. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, ponder it, focus on it day and night, being careful to do all that's written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll have good success." The giants are there, the promise is there, the people of God are there, and there are people that are making a decision between the bad report and the good report. The majority of the spies were saying, "Hey, it's a beautiful land that flows with milk and honey, but there are giants there. But nevertheless, the people are strong and the cities are fortified." The mantra that came out of Joshua and Caleb was quite different. They said, "Yeah, yeah, but we shall by all means possess the land." Now, that gives me chills. That raises up bumps on me because I understand that they obtained a physical Canaan. I'm believing God for certain promises to come to pass in and through my life. I'm believing God for our church. I'm believing God for my kids, for your kids. I'm believing God for your marriage. I'm believing God for your progress. I'm believing God for breakthrough. I have promises in the Word of God, and I'm holding to those promises. I'm excited about the body of Christ all over the world. I'm excited about His plans, and I want to see those things come to pass. Isaiah 53 is one of those chapters. It's a chapter, a prophetic chapter, that starts to foretell of the Savior, the Messiah, that's going to come and redeem the Jewish people and also all the non-Jews, all everybody, Gentiles, everybody is going to experience this intervention. And this chapter has been used and referenced by God to lead many, many Jewish people to an awareness of who Jesus is as a Messiah. This talks of the suffering servant. This talks about Jesus. He impeccably fulfilled every one of these verses. But it starts out with, who has believed our message, or who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our message? This is the question. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Everything hinges on our belief system. Everything hinges on how we respond to information. Joshua and Caleb had information that they got through Moses when he promised. God said, "I'm going to send you to a land that flows with milk and honey, and I'm going to give you your land." They held and cherished that promise throughout all the inevitable challenges, and it sustained them through ridiculous trials, through ridiculous opposition, through dull, lethargic, hard days, through this inevitable seasons and predictable crises of life, and some unpredictable, and it propelled these people past the inhibitors and the hindrances and the blockages and catapulted them to actually see the arm of the Lord revealed in their life. I want to see what that means, what that next part of that verse is. Who has believed our report? Okay, well, I believe. I'll take that verse. Jesus, I believe in you. Though I've never seen you, I believe in you. I have beliefs. I believe there is a God. I believe that man is sinful and corrupt and is incapable of saving themselves. I believe that Jesus came to save us from our sin. I believe after he died on the cross, he rose from the dead. He paid the full penalty for sin. I believe him to be God in the flesh. I believe that he is the resurrection and the life, so even when we die, we live. I believe in the gospel so much that if I preach it, God will supernaturally do something with it and stir up hearts and they'll come to know Christ. I believe that you can move mountains in prayer. You can speak to your mountain and it'll be removed. I believe in the power of encouragement. I believe in the power of evangelism. I believe in the power of tithes and offerings. I believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of the gospel, man. I do. I have beliefs. And I'm not talking myself into it or out of it. These are beliefs I've held to. They've been challenged. They've been tested. So this is something that in this course of my life, I relate to these guys. I relate to Joshua and Caleb. These are people who were lined up with Moses, and they were all coming out of Egyptian bondage under Pharaoh, and they were laboring for 400 years. So their whole life culture was all just oppressed. It's all bound up. And then God raises up Moses and says, let my people go. And God gives an exodus to the people of God, and they get up to the edge of the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea. So they have this experience where they actually walk as if it's dry ground across the sea. 3 million people are on the other side, and they've just had an amazing experience. But then murmuring, doubt, and unbelief filled the people of God. And we're going to see the contrast between the bad report and the good report. And we're going to see how important it is and how strategic it is to hold to whose report are you going to believe? What side are you going to land on? And get into this good report lifestyle, good report mentality, good report orientation. I'm not talking about overly superficially optimistic. I'm not talking about denial. I'm talking about framing your world with, I land on the fact that God is faithful. He's greater than circumstance. He's bigger than my mountain. I serve the God that is greater than the giants. His promises are laid out in my heart. I believe the word of God, and I'm going to trust him for it. As sorely tested as these things get, as deeply agitated as my emotions can become, as betraying as the circumstances can array before my eyes, I walk by faith and not by sight. And God, this determination isn't even something from my own human metal. It's something that comes by the power of your Holy Spirit and by your word. I could see that if I stand on your promises and believe your word, I'm going to get somewhere in life. And that's available to all of us. You could take that and bring it into a cold marriage that's fractured with real legitimate problems, and God will warm it and bring healing back to it. You could bring it into a broken heart of a divorce or a situation where the rejection is the number one sort of byword of your life, and you could receive healing and your life come back to where it is fruitful and productive. Somebody in here, you may feel like the devil's lying to somebody in here, that there's so much regret in your life that, wow, just whatever now. I've ruined my life. I just bloat and die. I just wish I was just gone. No, there's some more for you to do. I feel impressed to tell you that. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. How many of you were not here Friday night? Let me see your hands if you were not here Friday night. Friday night, I'd like you to get the tape or the CD or download it from the message. We'll get it on the iPod eventually. Because I think it's a word from the Lord that's going to help you concerning the memorial stones that God had Joshua tell the people to pull up out of the middle of the Jordan River. They got into the parting of the Jordan River. They were required to each take a stone, the people representing the tribes, and put it on the bank, build a memorial so that when the children saw it, they said, what is that? They would be forced to remind them of how faithful God was in this breakthrough situation. These guys pulled up stones, put them on the bank of the river to say, right out of the middle of our obstacle, out of the middle of our challenge, out of the middle of our containment, God delivered us, and I want to be able to pass this on and tell the kids. You guys understand that? If you don't, get the tape and listen to it. Even if you do, it'll help you. Numbers chapter 13, verse, and we'll just highlight a couple of these verses between 25 and 33. Everybody say the good report and the evil report. Who has believed our report? What is your system of belief? What are you holding to? What do you believe in God for? Here's what happened. Moses said, go over and spy out the land. Go check out what God's about to give us. Check it out. I'll get all you guys to go look at it and then come back and give us a report. So these guys went over, they waded across the river, they went out in there and they spied out the land, they did their research, and they all came back to Moses and the people after returning from spying out the land for 40 days. They went to Moses and Aaron to tell the congregation and the sons of Israel in the wilderness. Verse 26, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, thus they told him and said, we went into the land which you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, here's when they started moving in this bad report. The people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The giants are there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites living in the hill country. Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. So here they come and they're doing great. All of a sudden, the report goes sour really fast. They bring back, they show the fruit. They say it certainly does flow with milk and honey. But, so then they move in this pessimism and this negativity. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. And he says, shh, shh, shh. And he makes the profound good report statement. We should, by all means, go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. We should, by all means, take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. This is essentially what I want to get over to you today. This is the good report. This is Caleb quieting the people after they've been highly agitated by all the bad news. And he gets up and he says, hey, yeah, that's the way it is. However, this is the way it's going to be. We're going to possess the land. We should by all means. Here's what the King James says. We are well able to overcome it. Now, there's really something in here. We're going to look at this for a few minutes. We're going to look at the result of the bad report, the result of the good report. In Philemon 7, Paul commended a man. He said, man, your love and your behavior in the church encourages me. And he said, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Paul noticed, out of all the people who badmouth and murmur and backstab, and he dealt with it all, he said, you're not like that. You've maintained a refreshing behavior toward people. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. That's exactly what Caleb was doing right here. He was bringing refreshing to the hearts of the people. When the people heard the bad report, he had to quiet them, which means they were making all kinds of noise. What kind of noise? I imagine they were moaning. They were shrieking. They were freaked out. Because I believe as they brought back this bad report, it generated fear. And later we learn that the hearts of the people melted because the brethren brought back a bad report. And I've seen this. I've watched this in my own life. I've watched this in my own interaction, out of my own mouth occasionally. I saw it in Peter's life. One minute he's highly encouraging to Jesus where he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. So he says, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. A little while later, Peter's moving in this other thing, sort of trying to divert Jesus' destiny. He said, you caused me to stumble. Get behind me, Satan. You savor the things of man, not the things of God. So we see the flip-flop of Peter going from, yes, Lord, I see you're who you are, and then, no, Lord, you know, and that's the flesh, and that was what was happening amongst these groups of people. This can happen with any of us. I know in my own marriage, I've been greatly used by the Lord to be a blessing to Patsy, and occasionally I've needed to hear, get behind me, Satan, because I've been used by the devil. It got quiet in here, but it's the truth. So I figure if I admit that to you, then it's okay for you to realize, hey, we've got potential to go either way. Joshua and Caleb are walking in this place where they're saying, we shall surely overcome it. We should by all means go up and take possession of it. Now, how does this apply to us? In a lot of ways, it applies in a lot of areas. This is a principle that governs the whole move of God throughout the earth, throughout the ages. This principle is applicable to us today. They said, hey, we're going to take this geographic land in Canaan up there by Jordan and all around there north of Egypt. We could take this and say, okay, Father, this good report kind of lifestyle is what I choose to walk in. I pray you help me to get this in my heart. In fact, he brought back word to them. that we're going to possess the land. Go up to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14 is going way up ahead where they've already gone through the Jordan. They've already gone through Jericho. They've already taken a lot of land. And now Joshua is dividing up among the tribes the different real estate that they are inheriting as they've gone in to take possession of the land the Lord promised to give them and bless them and honor them as covenant people, having, you know, compensated for all their years of bondage and now getting to come into a place of blessing. Joshua, he's now 85 years old. Caleb is standing there. All the people that got wiped out, that got heard that bad report, they all died off. In fact, look what it says here. He stands up and he speaks to Joshua as Joshua is about ready to distribute land to him. So the sons of Judah drew near, verse 6, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea." Our lives rise and fall on whether or not we'll know the word. Knowing the word brings us into an awareness of the express will of God. Knowing the truth, knowing the revelation that God has specific plans for each one of our lives, gets us out of the dark and brings us into clarity about exactly what God says He wants to do and doesn't want to do for us. So He's saying something very telling here. Caleb's letting us in on a secret. He's saying, "I'm going to tell you how I'm here in my 80s, standing here together strong, and what sustained me through it all, through all the murmurers, through all the people who forfeited the prize." And by the way, I've been a Christian now for 30-some years. I've been a pastor since 1980, so that puts me in my 27th year of pastoring in St. Louis. And I'm fascinated by how the people that endure and sustain, but also by the people that peel off. I just want to do my level best to keep fueling this endurance side of things, because God has no pleasure in those whose souls shrink back. God loves it when we operate in this overcomer more than conqueror position. And that's not coming from our own strength. He says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear." Remember what Paul said about Philemon. He said, "The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." So Philemon was in this dynamic in the New Testament where he, everywhere he went, people's faith got built up, people's encouragement level got put up, people got their vision back, got their focus back, reminded of the Great Commission, reminded to forgive, reminded to be givers and servants and be faithful, be loyal. He left a trail of that. Joshua and Caleb had this orientation where, okay, because God said this, I'm going to base my whole worldview and my whole lifestyle and my conduct, my attitude, the content of my words, the meditation of my mind and my heart on what He promised. Giants, you're going to have to deal with it because my God is greater than the circumstances. What happened, though, with the bad report is they got their eyes off the promise of God. They got overwhelmed with the circumstances, and like any of us can do, they caved in to those situations. They got in a place where they started generating bad news. They made the hearts of the people melt with fear. It's the opposite of what God's called you and me to do in our interaction with each other. But see, Caleb quieted the people and said, "We shall by all means possess the land." Later on, it said that because the bad report hit the people, we became as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. This has happened in church life. I don't want this transition of 20th century to 21st century historically to be like a dark age in the church. If Jesus doesn't come back for a while, I want people to say, that era was charged with faith and confidence in God. That era, people rose up in adoration and love for Jesus. They loved one another, and the church advanced. Jesus, the message of Jesus, permeated the culture. God was relevant, and people got a hold of Him all over the place and all the nations. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to see. And I want the kids to go, "Wow, that's what I want for my future." And I want them to stand on the shoulders of what we get a hold of in our generation. Joshua and Caleb are cool because they were unique. They were the minority. They stood their ground on the conviction that God was going to see them through, and they realized the benefits. They got the prize. He said, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses. The other day I asked somebody to pray for me about a situation I'm having. I said, pray about this. They said, what scripture are you standing on? And it caught me. I went, oh, and I tried to pull a rabbit out of a hat, you know. But then I realized, he said, because I want to line up with you on what you're believing God for. So then I pulled the verse out that I had that I was holding to. He said, okay, I agree with that. Well, yesterday he called me and asked me to pray because there was a little this moment of trouble. This kid made a mistake and this so forth. Well, to make a long story short, before we could get the amen out of our mouths in the prayer, God had worked it out. And the verse I stood on with that, somebody kind of messed up, so I was believing God for them to have favor. Anybody ever pray about favor? Yeah. Favor is a powerful thing. Yeah. It's on you. There's favor. You know, favor is the same word for gift, and it's the same word for grace in the New Testament. We are endowed with grace. We are endowed with favor. We are endowed with gifts. We are a gifted people. We are a favored people, and we are a graced out people. Much more than Joshua and Caleb were. They had to offer up animal sacrifices and do all this sort of rigmarole. And we're in this better covenant. You guys, come on. I just am so thankful that I could learn from guys like that who lived in adverse circumstances galore, had literal giants. These guys were huge. And they're going, rrr, rrr, the unibrows and the whole thing. Big old. And they had to plow through this stuff. And I love that. As a guy, I really relate to this Jericho wall falling down. It's like, you know, it's awesome. It's like, yeah, you know, I hear the cavalry coming. I see John Wayne over there and stuff. It blesses me. There's Clint Eastwood. You know, I'm into it as a guy. As a girl, you ought to be into it, that God saw the people through, because there were as many women there as there were men and kids, and they inherited the prize. You guys, it's dual gender. It's multi-ethnicity. It's multi-age bracket. Come on. So I take hold of this, and I take this seriously, and I look at it not just as a hoorah, cheerleading, yee-hee thing. I look at it soberly, and I take it personally and apply it in the very Jericho walls, Jordan rivers, giants in my own personal life. And I thank you, Father, that you've got examples for me in the Bible that I could look at, and I can underline with my pen. And I could cross-reference, and I could go back and look at it again and again. And because this is alive and living, I could learn from it. And I could say, okay, God, there's a scriptural example of how faithful you are. This is exactly what Caleb did. He said, listen, man, the God that we serve is faithful. He said, I brought back word as it was in my heart. The brethren that were with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I follow the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. I am where I am because people followed the Lord their God fully and sincerely before me, prayed for me, influenced me with the gospel, provided an example to me from the biblical days and even in my recent days. And it gave me spiritual example, an imprint of inspiration, and it caused me to move forward. And I'm benefited by people adopting this good report lifestyle. And I've been discouraged, and my heart has melted with fear by people who have operated in a bad report lifestyle. I want the children to learn that we shall by all means possess the land, because they're going to quickly become adults with an array of responsibilities. They're going to be inheriting the duties of being the leaders of companies, the heads of families, the teachers in our schools, the leaders of our churches. So they had better have this down to their core in their DNA strand and every cell and molecule of their being, quieting the people and saying we shall by all means possess the land. If we do our job right, we need to breed into the hearts of people this spiritual attitude of how faithful God is, how true His promises are, how mighty Jesus is, how worthy He is of full-on devotion, where people just don't take no for an answer. They believe God to change the whole world. I mean, we live in a time where a little church group in Europe prayed and the Berlin Wall came down. Come on, man! And Peter Jennings said, hey, this little church prayed this whole change, this revolution. And God raised up Gorbachev and Reagan, and nobody knew it. Everybody's just getting mad at him about everything. And God anointed them to dismantle previously strengthened boundary and move it out of the way. I was jogging one day up at the junior high, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I'm doing this so the gospel will get into these areas. Whoo, cool. He moved on two world leaders to just change the situation. But this newsman, he traced it with his research, you know, these research journalists, and he said, hey, it's this little church with 100 people. And this guy, his wife, his wife was pregnant, and the secret police wanted to kill them. So they went after them, and the whole church went outside, and they locked arms, and they went a big circle around the building to protect their pastor and his pregnant wife. And said, you're going to have to go through us. And then the police backed off. Yeah. I like that, man. Yeah. As a pastor, I think, right on. But what intrigues me is they had that same kind of approach of the good report. And that is what we've got to face our giants with. It's like, okay. Economically, things aren't really good for me right now. Or, all right, I'm having a little fallout here, or things aren't what I expected. Now, what do I do? Do I minimize, lower my standards and manage my expectations? Or do I get in denial and just kind of, you know, act like everything's just fine? Or do I go biblically and say, okay, nevertheless, we shall by all means possess the land. God, I'm going to get through this by your strength. You always lead me in triumph. We count them happy that endure. Because why? Because those who endure to the end shall be saved. God is pleased with perseverance in our actions, in our operations. Are you with me? Get this. Some of these battles that we face are every bit as realistic as these giants. Some of you, right now, some of you, you're seized with situations, even in your own heart. It's not just an outside circumstance. You're dealing with having to navigate through your thought life and through your own emotions and feelings. And it's like it's an emotional low point. And so what do? You cling to, trust in, and rely on how faithful God is. You go to a verse like this and you let it revive your spirit. You read this and say, that God is my God. And this guy, Caleb, is a real human being that heard all this murmuring, saw the giants, heard all the same thing that was prophesied through Moses, but he landed on the other side of the Jordan, not because he was a superhero, not because he had a little pedigree and he was a special golden boy, but because he simply kept, he said, as my strength was then, so my strength is now. His strength was in the fact that God's word is true. I remember he said this. I'm going to hold to it through my lifespan. And he believed God, and he got to win the big enchilada. Amen. This has sustained us through the flood of 93. This has sustained people through tremendous trauma and difficulty. I've watched the Lord move in people's situations with this basic truth of embracing the good report. Whose report will you believe? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord gets revealed to people who embrace the good report. You want to see the arm of the Lord revealed? Embrace the good report. Well, I'll believe the good report when I see the arm of the Lord revealed. No, you say, I believe what the Word of God says, and I'm going to stand on it, trust in it, rely on it, and just see what happens. Yeah. Now, persecution arises for the Word's sake. So you say, well, I'm going to be in for some spiritual fight. I'm going to be in for some battle. My thought life is going to be bombarded. My circumstances are going to array against me. Well, they're going to be people that will dissent on the thing I'm believing for. Okay, factor it all in. Be realistic. Understand it. See that the majority of the people were going, we can't possess the land. And so realize you're going to see that around you. And you're going to, if you want to obtain these kinds of things like Joshua and Caleb did, you're going to have to line up with what God's promise said, associate in fellowship, walk with the wise and you'll be wise. I enjoy fellowship with people that are leaning on the good report side of things. I've recognized now in my 50s, I don't have time to sit around and indulge murmuring, complaining, doubt, and unbelief. In my own mind, my own life, I just don't have that kind of time to invest in those relationships. Now, that doesn't mean if you live with somebody that's grumpy and murmuring that you can pull up and leave now. That doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that. It's just in terms of my discretionary time, I'm not going to, hey, let me call up so-and-so, let them dump on me for 45 minutes. Or let me read about what somebody who's forsaken the word of God and rejected the message of Jesus now read their blog. I'm not going to read it. Why bother polluting my noggin with it? I've already got enough stuff up here to deal with. Enough stuff. He said this, the hearts of the brethren melted with fear, but I follow the Lord my God fully. Let's finish, as I said, with Joshua chapter 2. Everybody say the good report.
The good report.
The bad report.
Bad report.
Whose report will you believe? Okay, Joshua chapter 2. Ever hear of a lady named Rahab? Okay, Rahab is in Hebrews 11, okay, because she's full of faith. And here's what she did. Here's what she embraced. She embraced the good report. Check it out. Joshua chapter 2, she says, these other spies go and wait across the Jordan before he parts it. They meet this lady. She intercepts him at this wall. And she said to the men in verse 9, here's what she's been holding in her heart, what their people have been holding for 40 years. I know that the Lord has given you the land. And that the terror of you has fallen on us. Now, these are the people in Canaan that have been anticipating with their knees knocking because God had promised something. And when they heard it, here's why they freaked out. He said that the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. All the while, the people of Israel's hearts had melted away. They were stifled. But God was already dismantling the other side. But these people were locked up. I think a lot of our blessings are there for us that we just get locked up because of the bad report. He's already done the damage and done the work on the other side to prepare it.
Yeah.
But there's a hindrance here of this bad report that causes the hearts of the saints to melt. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Look at verse 11. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. So there was some heart melting going on both sides of the camp, and for the same reasons. The enemies heard about the word of the Lord and how mighty God was that he parted the Red Sea, and they were freaking out. They were bracing themselves for the inevitability of the conquest. But the people of God had embraced a bad report. The murmurers did their job and said, "No, we can't do it." And the people just got seized and their hearts melted with fear. So somewhere along the line, we've got to make sure whose report we're going to gravitate toward and believe. And there needs to be enough of a percentage of us to tip the scales toward this we shall by all means possess the land dynamic that it starts showing up on our individual lives, it starts showing up in our cities, it starts showing up in our generation, and we move and advance the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is never advanced by people in retreat. And it had to wait it out until Joshua and Caleb, who carried that all their lives, they said, as our strength was then, so our strength is now. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people beg for bread. Church, listen. The enemy's heart had melted because of the report. The believers' hearts had melted because of the report. But then I'm telling you, Caleb brought back word as it was in his heart. And he said, listen, you know the word which the Lord spoke to us through Moses. And this is what we carry in our hot tears and in our moments of trial. This is what we carry when we face off with the uncertainties and insecurities before us. This is where we face off. Why did I reference that Berlin Wall coming down? It's a great modern example, 1988, of a radical geographic change and a radical cultural shift and an open door for the gospel. And I want to pull those stones up and remind you. My brother was living over there. We had scheduled to go visit them because the airline, the tickets were cheap. Little knowing, it was before anything had happened. We got there within a couple of days. We got to go chip off part of the Berlin Wall, speak through of the wall, and lead a soldier to the Lord.
Amen.
God opened up the door, and we got to be part of it. Well, I think there are more walls. Jericho's walls were interesting, but I believe there are more walls God wants to knock down in our lives, in our families. I believe you're the catalyst that could spread the gospel through the entire family.
Yeah.
All right, now, only be strong and very courageous.
There are issues you got to overcome. There are real deal issues. Only be strong and very courageous is what God spoke to Joshua and Caleb four times at the first chapter of Joshua. I so clearly hear that echoing loud and clear to the church today. Nothing's changed regarding this. This is as applicable for us now as it was for them then. The difference is that we're not in geographic Canaan, but in our case as a church, we need to expand and believe God for geographic land here. So there is an application I take hold of personally. And what is church? It's an assembly of people who realize we're lost without a Savior. That's what we are. We're not like, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm religious. No, it's like, whoa, I need God. That's our message. We're people who realize we needed God. And he said, blessed are you, hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. I want to close with this. If you're unhappy with your circumstances, if you're really struggling, and you hear all this and it feels a bit wooden, it doesn't resonate in your spirit, then go back and study these two or three chapters. It's only going to take you 15 minutes to 30 minutes. And let the Lord spark something in your heart concerning how faithful God was to those people. And embrace that and carry it into your situation. Go read the chapter about the stones and pull up some stones of remembrance of how faithful God was to deliver you. Every one of us has had some close calls. Every one of us has had some testimony of, you know, something that God, it was God that came through. I didn't know it then, but it was God. And so he's got me here for a reason. So I want to identify that and fulfill that just the way he wants me to. And if Caleb could do it and Joshua could do it, it's all because of God, not because of Joshua and Caleb. It's how they responded to God's promise. I could do that. It's how they carried the good report. Well, I could throw down the battery. I could bridle my tongue. You told me to, so I will. You know, I can rewire myself to believe God for his promises to come to pass. Can you do it? Let me see a show of hands. Who can do that? Who that? Yeah, do that. So let's just start to use our, let's believe God. This parent called me on the phone and his voice was filled with concern. Well, it's just a shoe on the other foot. I've done that to him a million times. So he calls on me. He's like, all right, let's believe God. I knew exactly what to pray. God turned that whole thing around. He's faithful, man. Father, I pray you strengthen every heart in this place. Help us to be good and skillful at holding to and cherishing and cultivating and accommodating the good report. Whose report will you believe? Well, we're going to believe and land on the Jesus side of the street. We believe there is a God. We believe that he sent his son to die for our sins, which proves that he loves us, that he's for us and not against us. We believe in the Holy Spirit that was sent to empower the church, to make us effective in our little lives on the earth. And I pray, God, you would just move in these circumstances that people are facing. Healings of bodies, relational changes, miracles in homes, adjustments in careers. Father, I pray a mighty, mighty advancement for every person in this place. If there are people in here who are not saved, I pray they come to know Jesus. People need to rededicate their lives to the Lord. I pray today would be the day of resolve and commitment. I pray if there's anybody in here that's not right with you, Lord, that needs to get Jesus front and center in their heart, I pray you'd move on them right now. Father, I thank you for the grace pouring out in this group. Pray this from your heart. Heavenly Father, I commit my heart to God's will to do what Jesus wants me to do. There is no turning back from this point. Like Caleb, I embrace a good report that God loves me. I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. And I want to walk with him as best as I know how, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So use me, Lord, to affect others. Do something mighty through my life. Make something big out of my prayers. Use me to be a catalyst in this world. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for cleaning up my heart. Thank you for forgiving me. I love you, Jesus, and I'm going to grow in my love for you. We shall by all means possess the land. Amen. God bless you guys.